This morning, we're reading from Proverbs 16, 1 to 9, and John will be speaking on the passage. Now, the writers of the Proverbs would often write in couplets, and the first part of the couplet would make a statement. The second part of the couplet would be something for you to think about and respond to. So this morning, there are 9 couplets, and as I read them, I'd encourage you to listen for the couplet that may most resonate with you where you are right now, today. The plans of the mind belong to mortals, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All one's ways may be pure in one's own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. All those who are arrogant are an abomination to the Lord. Be assured they will not go unpunished. By loyalty and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. When the ways of the people please the Lord, He causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Better is little with righteousness than large income with injustice. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the step.
Good morning. And if you are visiting with us this morning, one thing I want to highlight is that I'm not the pastor of this church. Pastor Alan is away in Bolivia, and Pastor Tom is with the youth. Let me start by asking you a question. Have you ever made, looking back at your life, have you ever made a decision and then a subsequent choice that you made as a result of that decision that you regret? And you say to yourself, I think I'm smart, but that was pretty stupid. Has this ever occurred to you? Well, I have made some decisions in my life, and there's one decision that I've made, and it's constantly at the back of my mind. I said, that was pretty stupid. And when I look at the Proverbs, some of the verses we're going to look at today, I said to myself, if I had taken into account this one verse, I could have changed my life. I could have changed the way my life went for so many years. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for this day. And we thank you for the privilege of gathering, as so many have highlighted this morning, Lord, that we have this opportunity and the chance to be in a country where we're free to gather and pray and worship together. So thank you, Lord. And I pray for your Holy Spirit. I know Carrie mentioned before that I need your wisdom to guide me through this. So, Lord, indeed, give me your wisdom as we go through some of these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, just going back, Pastor Holland has been going, we've been going through these paths of wisdom. And today we are looking at chapter 16. There's approximately between chapters 10 and 22, I think Steve mentioned that. We talk about the couplets. It's a collection of one verse, but two lines saying, so to speak. And if we take them into account, they could really provide us with some kind of guide how we move forward. And the way it is set up, it looks like it follows Hebrew poetry, where lines are structured in pairs. And the two pairs, they contrast, they elaborate, and they kind of support each other. And if you look carefully, what you're going to notice at the first, maybe at the first or second part of the verses, you're going to find that there's a contrast. And when I was looking at this, the word that came to me was the word dichotomy. What does that mean? It's a big word. But basically what it means, there are two pieces to it. And if you look again clearly, you're going to see at the beginning of the verse, at times it refers to the heart, or it refers to humans, or it refers to the man, at the beginning or at the end. And then the reverse of that, the other part that it's going to mention, and I can give you an example. At the beginning, it says to humans belong the plans of the heart. Verse 2, are the person's ways. And then it says, the second part would say, the Lord, from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. The motives are weighed by the Lord. And the other one, it says, for instance, verse 4, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. So you can see that contrast between the Lord and man. What I would suggest is that the first part, very often the first part where it refers to the heart, where it refers to man, where it refers to the person, I would suggest that this is the first opportunity. Normally what happens is that the first thing that comes to us, the first reaction that we have, it comes from us. And that's the first opportunity that we have. Our reaction, our desires, our thoughts, the first thing that comes to us is the way we tend to act naturally. And that's the first opportunity. And there are values to it because we feel good. For instance, we may make some choices. We may want to have more money. And the ways we, and that's the first thing that comes to our mind. But the second thing it says, if you pay a little bit more attention, you will hear that the Lord will speak. And that's the words of wisdom. That's the second part. So what I would suggest is that the first choice that we have, the first opportunity that we have, is the easy one. But it is not the wise one. And if we looked at the first verse, for instance, it says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. To humans belong the plans of the heart. The heart. These are our plans. That's the first reaction. That's the first opportunity. But wisdom comes back and it says, if we take the time to listen, if we take the time to seek God's face, God will speak to us about this choice. That's where the wisdom, the origin of wisdom, it's not from books. It's not from degrees. It's not from the university. The wisdom, it says, comes from the Lord. God will speak. So the first thing that we have is that of an opportunity. Wisdom becomes an opportunity to rethink, to redirect, to walk. The first thing we know is that I will not be going from verse to verse, but more so for some of the themes. So the first theme I would say, if you look at all these verses, you're going to find out is that God is sovereign. What does that mean, God is sovereign? What it means is that God really is in control. Even when we think God is in control of everything, God is in control of events, God is in control of even things that are happening in the Philippines, God is in control. Even things that we think are random, things that are random, out of the blue, we know that the Word tells us God is sovereign. And God can speak to us about these things. At times we give values to so many things, and then when we think about some project, some situation, some promotion at work, where we think these things are so valuable. And I know for those of us who've retired or at the end of our careers, then you realize that the amount of time that we've spent on these projects, he said, really? When I retired a few years back, one of the things that I was told by human resources is that I lost almost 2.5 months of vacation that I didn't take. And I didn't get paid for it at the end when I retired. And I thought that was, my work was so important that I could not stop. I should be going to work. Have you ever been in that type of situation? And then you think about that. These are values that we give, right? That's the first part. These are the decisions that we make. These are the values that we give to situations, to work, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, or projects, but at the end of the day, the Lord said, I will communicate to you about these things. That's the first part. And basically, what the author is saying here is that don't just go with your heart. Don't just go with your heart. Listen. Listen to what God has to say. Solomon says in Psalm, and again, here we are looking at the wisdom from Solomon. And Solomon says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. Later on, James, the Apostle James, will say to us, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And he says, what is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. God is sovereign. He's in ultimate control. At the end of the day, whatever the purpose that he has for us, that will be accomplished. If you look at your life and you say to yourself, I find myself in such a mess. But God says, I have a plan. I am sovereign. I'm sovereign over your life and the lives of everyone. Even things that we think they are so random, yet God has a plan. And in everything, Remember that first opportunity, the first opportunity of the heart. There comes a second opportunity of wisdom. Wisdom is an opportunity. The second verse, all a person weighs seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And this is, he said, when you look at some of the decisions that you make, you believe that they are pure. But in fact, they are not. But the Lord says, the motives are weighed out by the Lord. God has the ability. You know, you can deceive yourself. You can deceive others around you. Yet the Lord says, but I am the one who weigh your motives. And the idea of weighing is the idea of a judge. I am the one who can weigh your motives. And this is what your heart says. But God says, I am the searcher of hearts. I am the searcher of your heart. I know what your heart looks like. I know what your heart wants. But hear from me, I will speak. And we are reminded, for instance, in Samuel 16, God tells Samuel that he looks at the heart, not outward appearances. In some verses, some version says, it's not about the heart. It says, God weighs the spirits, your spirit, your intentions. Even when actions appear pure to us, we have, and we know how the saying goes, the road is paved, wherever that leads us is paved with good intentions. We are warned that most people, most of us, when we take action, we have good intentions. You know, we don't set out to do evil from the onset. The third verse, it says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. In a version that I read in the Message, it says, put God in charge of your work. Then what you plan will take place. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The word commit is an interesting word. It means to entrust. So it says, you know, you are working. That's the natural way. You get up in the morning, and you do your work, because this work is valuable to you. But here it says, commit that work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The word commit in this context, it means to entrust. It means to give. It means to roll over. It says, take your work if you want wisdom. Take your word. Roll over your work to God. That's what it means. If you think about this verse for a moment, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Put God in charge of your work and what will take place, what you plan will take place. In other version it says, give your work to God, you will succeed. One verse. Give your work to God, roll over your work to God, Roll over your actions to God and you will succeed. That's pretty amazing. And it's Pastor Holland has been talking about wisdom as the lady who sits and provides. But here, it is so direct. Give your work to God. Give your work to God, and you will succeed. All your plans. If there is one verse you can share, if there's one verse you can teach someone you're mentoring, if there's one verse, I think through some of the verses that we are going through today, if there's one verse you can give to a child, is this: give your work to God, roll your work to God, you will succeed. Now, this is what the word says. Let me ask you this question. Did you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe that these words come from God? Do you believe that He will honor His words than the promise that He makes? We are called to surrender. We are called to surrender our work. It's an act of faith. Surrender our work to God. He will guide us, even if the path is kind of uncharted. And as we give our work to God, our plans will become less of what we want and more about what God wants for us. We may experience doubt, uncertainty. We may have some detours. But we are reminded here, we are encouraged here to give our work, to surrender our work to God, because He can lead us. Here it says, the Lord has made, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. If you just stick to the first part of that verse, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. There is a purpose. There's no madness. There's no mess. There's a purpose in everything. And therefore, if we give these things to God, it encompasses all creation. Nothing happens outside of His control. Even when situations, He was mentioning about hip replacement. Even when situations come out of the blue, they seem random. God says, there's a purpose. The word tells us the Lord has made everything for a purpose. And therefore, because the Lord has made everything for a purpose, we need to look at humility and be humble enough and trust in an act of faith. The third value is the value of integrity. And that's the verse 8. It says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. And here what he's saying is that your integrity, your value, don't just go for money and try to get it in a quick way, in a dishonest way. But it's better to have less, but you have integrity. And it doesn't mean that if you have a lot, that you've accumulated money or whatever you have through bad ways. But it says, if there is a choice to get a lot more, but you're going to lose yourself, you're going to lose your integrity, don't go for it. Because in the long run, it's better to have little. I am hooked to the news. I don't know about you, and I have been following the news in the U.S. almost every day. And I spend too much time just watching the news and who is winning, who is losing, what's happening, etc., etc. And I came through this article in that goes back to February 2024. And this is what it says. It says, the nation's millionaires and billionaires are evading more than $150 billion a year in taxes, according to the head of the Internal Revenue Service. And it says, this conduct is adding to growing government deficits and creating a lack of fairness. We're not just looking at millionaires or billionaires, but those with less can also behave in a manner that is unrighteous. Sometimes, those who are righteous, if you go for wisdom, if you listen to God, you will have less. That's what the word says. If you choose righteousness, you may have less. But ultimately, we know one thing, that God says in his word that he will meet all our needs. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee of great wealth. But one thing we know, that all believers, we have access to a great spiritual wealth. We know that Jesus, the Word tells us that he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Our riches, peace with God, assurance in heaven, fellowship with God, assurance of his presence, joy, and a purposeful living. Later on in the chapter, it says this very clearly. I'm not supposed to mention this verse because it's verse 16. It says, how much better to acquire wisdom than gold? To gain understanding is more desirable than silver. So we talk about God being sovereign, that's a value. We talk about having humility. We talk about integrity. This is what these verses deal with. And the last part of this is that it says in verse 9, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his step. Or the Lord directs his steps. It is not a bad thing to plan. We are made in the image of God, and we plan. In fact, some of us may need to do a little bit more planning. But it says, but the Lord directs his step. We plan as we can, as we should, but we should never think that our ability to make plans make us Lord of our lives. Because remember, God is in control. God is sovereign. He will guide us. He will lead us. God is actively working, involved in shaping our journey. And so we need to remain flexible and open to his guidance. When we face unexpected news or changes, we can trust that God is directing our steps. What is the right way? Again, wisdom comes as an opportunity. The first opportunity that will come to us, it comes from the heart. It comes from our own mind. But that's not the opportunity of wisdom. If we take the time to listen, if we take the time to hear God's voice, He will provide us with the wisdom. And it's kind of funny here, because when I was reading Proverbs, I was thinking, it doesn't talk to a particular age group. No matter whether you have hair or you don't have hair, no matter whether your hair is dark or white or blonde, normally that tells you a little bit how old you are. But here it says, we need constant wisdom. And God is going to assist us. I think every time I have an opportunity, I always tell the story about my parents. I think I've mentioned that to you. My mom only had grade 3 education. My dad, I think he had grade 5 education. And he always said, if I had grade 6, I would be very rich. But one of the things that I saw my parents do, and that's my earliest memories, is that every morning they spent time. When I would get up, I would see there was in one room, because we didn't turn on all the lights at once. We turn the lights that we need to use to save money, I suppose. But I could always see my mom moving, or my dad moving very quietly, because all the 11 kids were sleeping, 11. But they would be moving early morning very quietly around the house. And my mom had a specific chair, and she would read the Bible every single morning. And my dad, for him, that will come a little bit later, because he had the chore of doing the dishes in the morning. And that's what I learned from them. Not a lot of education, very little education, but their source of wisdom. For me, what I learned from an early age is that they spent the time reading the Word every day. The path to wisdom is not an easy way. It is a challenge. But as you may know, the other side of a challenge is an opportunity. The other side of the challenge is opportunity. And the opportunity is there for us to seek wisdom. I'm going to end with this. I was reading the book, I think Pastor Hallen has mentioned this quite a few times. Purity of the Heart is to Will One Thing, by Kierkegaard. And what he says, if you want to have a pure heart, and I know you all know this verse, it says, blessed are the pure of heart, for what will happen to them? They shall see God. Blessed to the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And when Kierkegaard looks at this thing, he said, in order for us to have a pure heart, there's one thing we need to do. He said, we cannot be distracted. We need to will one thing. And this is what he says. He says, ask yourself that question. What kind of life do you live? Do you will only one thing? And what is that one thing? What type of life do you live? Do you will only one thing? And what is this one thing? What is this one thing? What is this one thing beyond work, beyond money, what is this one thing? Here, I think this is the whole series has been on wisdom. Will you well wisdom? Amen.